Welcome back to the Comedian Americans podcast. Solutions to the world's problems from the world's leading lunatics. Put on your red, white, and blue clown nose. The comedians are here to fix America. I'm Dr. Dan, American comedy human. I have joke OCD, so I write jokes all week long about the world as it is. I used to get paid to do it. Now I just do it as an obsession. So what the hell? Might as well throw it onto a podcast. And I drag a co-host comedian on from somewhere in the world every week. And this is a great example of that. My co-host, ex-Mormon, ex-husband, now re-husbanded. Didn't re-Mormon, did you? Are you still?
No, I didn't. No, okay. I'm ex. Yeah,
expat. He's in Germany. You're not really expat. You're temporary expat, right?
Yeah, temporary. I haven't. No. I mean, sometimes I think about it now.
Yeah, right. Germany's saner than America these days, which is an odd sentence to say.
But yeah, things change. Yeah.
Well, it is Bent Washburn. Bent, what's up, buddy? Tell people where you are.
I am in a bathroom in Minneapolis. Been here for about a year and a half. Just staying safe. We just don't, you know what I mean? I thought, well, I have to choose one room. And really, this is it. If you think about it, if you can only have one room, it's going to be a bathroom, really, given what goes on in life. If you can only have one.
You can multitask in a bathroom, everything, but you can't multitask the bathroom anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that doesn't go travel well, but everything travels here. So I'm lying, but I am in a bathroom. You're right. It's a sound booth. I'm on the road with the kids visiting America. So I'm in Minneapolis in a bathroom.
So, yeah, just give people your background real quick. Tell them, you know, just the scam.
Sure.
You were a Mormon Utah guy, long time stand up.
Yeah, I've been doing it about 28 years. Grew up in Utah. I started stand up in Utah. And then about the same time I got divorced, I also lost my office job because my boss was also my father-in-law at the time. No longer, of course. So that's kind of went hand in hand. You know what I mean?
And you weren't a strong enough employee for him to go, you know, we're going to keep you
around.
We're going to
keep you and my daughter's not going to hang out. Yeah, it went the other way.
Yeah.
And so I started doing comedy then. That was probably full time about, when is it? How long ago is 1998? But anyway.
23 years.
That's when I started full time. It was 1998. And been doing it ever since, you know? And then I met a new woman. She's great. And she's in Air Force. She was an Air Force officer. And that's how we ended up in Germany, is with her job skills. Took us overseas again for the second time. Right when the pandemic started, last July, I moved in mid craziness.
Back to Germany. You're on the roller coaster of life, man.
I am.
You've done it. You've been the peaks and valleys and all points in between.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, we're going to mix in. You can mix in bits. You can do whatever you want. We're going to wander through the week that was. This is August 16th. So we just had a week that happened. And like I said, I used to write late night. So I tend to take notes on the week, no matter what, like pull out headlines. And sometimes I write jokes about them, but we're going to talk about them. And we're just going to, again, we're going to fix all the problems that America has because we're comedians. And that's what we do. We have that magic.
We fix it. Very powerful.
Think, like, that's why I like the Comedian Americans brand. Like this idea that if you let the comedians have more power, we'd probably be better off.
Maybe, except we would, I mean, I know a lot of comedians and we would say.
Not every comedian.
Yeah, I'm going to say, be a lot of stuff sitting on couches and just festering in notebooks. You know what I mean? Not really ever.
The Constitution, if Thomas Jefferson had been a stand-up, the Constitution would have been still in a notebook somewhere.
The Federalist Papers, yeah, they would have been a little different, I think.
Like, I need to work this Constitution out. Can I get 5 minutes tonight somewhere?
There are some funny lines. I've been thinking about that this week. The funniest line, I think, that was written, who was it that wrote it? I think it was Jefferson. All men are created equal, which I think has got to be, has there ever been a funnier, more ridiculous thing ever written? Ever. Like, in that moment, even. How far from the truth was that?
Right.
Oh, you
completely
mean
untrue.
rich white landowners. That's what you mean, right? In fact, even them, it wasn't equal. I was thinking Jefferson, tall, full head of hair, handsome. Franklin, he's the other white landowner in the room, short, bald, syphilitic, bad eyesight. And he had to laugh like, oh, this is great. Funny stuff.
Yeah, it should be just the opposite, right? No men are created equal. Let's start with that. And we'll adjust from there.
And how do we make things better? Yeah, it's funny. Anyway, all right.
Well, and they've got the line in there that you have the right to the pursuit of happiness. Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
that's not gonna, nobody's guarantee you, like highly unlikely you're going to find it, but you can chase it.
You can chase it all you want. This is the rationale, or what, not rationale, but I think most drug users would say, listen, this is my constitutional. I'm just pursuing some happiness.
Yeah. Chase that big green American carrot. Go for it as much as you want, man. Well, cool. So, just like I said, anything that you want to throw in, we are all good. It's all built around fixing America. I do think it would be interesting, like, if we did weave stand-ups and comedians more into our serious world. Like, the serious oppresses comedy. Like, it doesn't want it in certain places. Like, today,
absolutely,
Afghanistan fell, right, over the weekend or the last couple of days. And, so it's Afghanistan, right? It's Afghanistan. Yeah,
Afghanistan.
It's gone.
Oh, it was never there, Stan. I think it was never there, Stan. Well,
Talibania or something.
It's man. Are they changing the name, by the way?
I don't know, but they should. They should just call it Talibania.
Yeah, Talibania. I was thinking Trump is taking notes. He's like, how did they do it? Yeah.
So fast, too. Look at that.
Yeah. And no zip ties, no bear spray. Nobody painted their chest red and blue, and yet they did it. It was crazy.
That is true. They did kind of perfect the takeover of the government. It was a shock and awe. Like, they took it.
It was, seriously. Yeah. But about the same respect for truth, I would say. So it's more than just lying. It takes more than just lying to get if it was just lying, then he would have had it easily. But it takes more than that.
Yeah, you got to arm those idiots in the back of those small pickup trucks.
And you got to hope all the other idiots aren't also armed. You know, that's the real problem.
Yeah.
You know, the Taliban, I've had people tell me, gun advocates say, well, you know, the reason they were able to overthrow the Soviets was all those guns. I said, no, it was Stingers that we gave them. And now the reason they can't establish a democracy is because of all the guns.
Right. Well, and the same way than the Russians couldn't win is because we were funding the resistance.
Yeah.
And now Saudi Arabia and everybody else is funding, you know, the Taliban.
Are they funding them?
Oh, yeah. There's all sorts of sources of funding. Like, and again, I don't know shit about Afghanistan. Nobody does. Yeah. There was a great line on the internet today on my Twitter feed of guys like, I can't wait to hear all the instant expertise about Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. Yeah, true. I don't know anything. I read nothing.
I can't pick it on a map. I don't know where it's at in the Middle East.
Well, that's a good, I wonder. Yeah, I don't think I could either. I don't think I need to. I've never had a gig there. You know what I mean? So that's it.
Well, that's the other thing. We've got, 3 days, maybe a week of people being really concerned about a place they don't know exists, really, and then it's going to fade again.
Yeah, and everyone's trying to blame Biden, and then they're trying to blame Trump, and I don't blame.
Have you met anybody? Do you know anybody from Afghanistan? Have you ever met an Afghanistani?
I have. I met a while ago an Uber driver from Afghanistan. Pretty impressive kid. I mean, he spoke a couple like 3 languages and really good English. And he's over in America. He'd been an interpreter for a few years for this. And he was a hustler, man. I'm glad we got him.
Dude, I mean, come on. If any environment is going to create hustlers.
Oh yeah, it's true.
You work really hard to get out of Afghanistan.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So he was an impressive kid, my Uber driver. And it was one of the few times where the Uber conversation was, you know, interesting as opposed to just depressing or terrifying.
What did you ask him? What did he talk about?
He talked about how he had been getting ahead at a certain kind of business venture he had going. can't remember. I think it was in restaurant stuff, but then it fell apart.
Selling old white guy's livers.
Yes, he was liver transplants. No, what is it? Which country is it you can do that? Is it Iran? I don't know. Oh. Anyway, I shouldn't say. Anyway, he was impressive. That's all I remember. Like, wow, that guy was very optimistic for where he's been.
Can you say, do you remember his name?
Of course, no. No, he's not. Why would I remember his name? It's impossible to remember.
It's an interesting cultural moment when you go into, and I'm sure it's this way in every culture, you have to choose a new name that has some resonance in that culture. Yeah. Like if we moved to Afghanistan, you and I couldn't be, you know, maybe you could be Bent. I don't know. But Daniel, I'd have to choose something.
I think that would probably get you shot right now. Oh, Daniel. Okay.
Daniel. Oh. Yeah. Clearly not a target name.
Yeah. So is Bent. I think it'd be targeted.
I don't know. I think Bent would cause confusion around the whole world.
Except Sweden. Everywhere except Sweden. True. True. Everywhere but Sweden. I fit in there. Yeah.
I have a question. Like one thing I know, it's like Afghanistan, no matter how much trouble it becomes over there, they still make a really great crocheted couch blanket.
Yeah. How did that happen? How did that happen?
How does that named an app? How?
I don't know. Is there a history to it?
There was probably is. I didn't have a chance to Google it yet, but there's always a Google rabbit trail.
Someone only had enough yarn for one blanket, but they needed to make like 10, I'm assuming.
Leave a lot of holes in it. It's going to get holes eventually. Anyway, how do you know when an Afghan wears out?
I've seen them. I don't know. It's like probably like porn. You'll know it when you see it.
I think it's funny. My suburban mom, you know, in Louisville, Kentucky, made Afghans. Like she was a crocheter. I'm like, yeah, that's the only thing Afghanistan, the inroad it made here in America.
It was a blanket that it didn't no value. Does it really? Is there any value to Afghan?
Right. It's not a warming device.
Well, if you have a couch that's stained and looks kind of ugly, it will make it look ugly in a different way.
Tassels, tassels on your couch. Whoever thought, throw some tassels on that blanket because that'll be nice so you pull it up around your neck. Like that never causes a problem.
Horrible. Yeah, we had those too in Utah, Afghans all over the world.
So have you ever worked the Middle East? Have you ever done any stand-up there?
Like no, just military. Yeah, I did some in Kuwait and I did some in Iraq. So I don't know if it was really the Middle East at that point. You know what I mean?
There are oases in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Like Austin in Texas.
Yeah. It's a different. Yeah. I didn't work. See the locals. We didn't see any of the locals or work. Well, I did. I went to one local barber shop / shish kebab / convenience store. It was all in one little, like, it's about the size of a tough shed. You know what I mean? Like about that big. And they had re-rigged a curling iron into a little shish, and they're making shish kebabs over one side of the room. Then giving haircuts like 10 feet away. And then they had some pegs in the wall and they were selling razors. And like,
don't you love the way capitalism filters out into other cultures? Like the third world's version of capitalism is pretty amazing.
Oh, it is awesome. I mean, that room, when you see it, you're like, wow. And you just, the admiration you have for that person, at least I do, like, you know what? I wouldn't even do one of these, let alone three. I would just be curled up over there. I just give up. But they were fighting.
And we also do ear implants over here. We have a cochlear surgeon.
I think could use some hearing probably over there. There's a lot of noise.
So that's the closest you've actually experienced the Middle East.
Yeah, that's it. I've never, and I haven't been to Afghanistan either. No, that's it. Have you ever been over?
No, the closest experience I had directly with the Middle East was living in Glendale, California, which had been systematically taken over in a beautiful, again, example of capitalism by the Armenian community. They bought every house that came available in Glendale, which was once a thriving white people community. And this happens all the time in LA, like an ethnic group will band together, buy all the housing in a community, and suddenly it's Korean, you know?
I didn't know that happened with Armenians there. Now, yeah. I take that back. I have been to Turkey. I've been to Izmir a couple of times and hung around and did some shows through Turkey. Does that count? I don't know.
It's close enough to that section of the world, right?
I think so. I mean, it was the market sure felt that way. I mean, I don't know what I'm looking
at.
Were
you doing, again, bases, or was that, because there's an expat network too. I know Schubert has gone over there and done expats.
Yeah, there is. This was for a show on a military base. And that's when we got to stay in Izmir for like a couple of days. They just had paid for the airfare. I went down there with my Kelly, my wife, and my son at the time was like 8 and the daughter was a baby. We got a great deal in this awesome room in a hotel, and they gave us a great deal. It turned out because it was just above a huge wedding. They're just pulsing music from that part of the world to like 2 a.m.
My favorite great deal at a hotel that turned out to be a bad deal was I took my kids to a gig once in Houston. And we got into the hotel room. It was on the first floor. And from behind the curtain, you could just hear, rrr, rrr, rrr. And we opened the curtain. And it was a black dude on a Harley, just this massive Harley. And he had like, you know, had scarves and, you know, leather jacket and everything. And he was just revving at, like he was going to come through our window. Turned out there was a black biker gang in Houston, not gang, but club, kind of a high-end biker club. That had rented the hotel, the whole hotel for the weekend. And they were doing races around the parking lot. There were like 300 dudes. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, I got you.
That's why I got the deal, the Harleys. Oh, man.
So what's Kelly think about the Middle East? Has she had opinions on it? Like, does she have any military insight into Afghanistan?
Is more than I do, I guess. I mean, from what I heard about it, you know, I've heard stuff like, oh, it's an abject failure. Well, yeah, eventually, but in the beginning, you know, you got rid of Al-Qaeda and he was killed. It's
you
just
spread him around. You spread Al-Qaeda around for a while.
Yes, put him around and then they go down to Syria because it's an ideology, but at least you. And just the fact
that's that I remember when Bush was like, oh, we're going to seek revenge. I'm like, you know, against what?
Well, you know, who cares? It just anyone is the point. we're seeking revenge. We will just,
we will out murder those who murdered us. That's the real depth of that appeal, right? Yeah. We are better if you push us. America's the best murderers. We can kill like nobody else.
We're really good. We have, but the thing is that we show pretty good restraint for how, I mean, we could have killed everybody. You know, we could have daisy cuttered that thing. And I think that's, it's with Afghanistan, I really do think that part of the problem was we went then into Iraq. So we split, we were fighting a war on two fronts and we weren't even close to done in Afghanistan. It's like my father-in-law was telling me today, you'll be there at least 50, 60 years to establish a military. And what are they thinking? Can't do that in 20 years. It takes you 20 years just to train a sergeant. I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm
interesting doing. Perspective. See, that's what I'm talking about. The complete lack of expertise that all Americans, and I guess it's worldwide, but especially Americans, the complete lack of expertise on these topics. And yet the intensity with which we have to express talk opinions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, we won't let stupidity stop us ever from sit. I was in a story. I was in a show once and I said feng shui. I do an opening thing. It's just I was just whatever, jibber jabber. And I take the mic stand, I put over here and says, is this good feng shui for comedy? And some lady just, it's feng shui. And then she turns to her husband really loud. Right. It's feng shui. Right. So in other words, she publicly corrected me. And then half a second later, am I right? Was that? I said, boy, you sure didn't check. Am we're that way. We'll just blast.
Oh, it's, but we're always, I mean, what's happened, I think this is the media effect on people because the media is so good. The media is designed to do visuals and emotion. Like, it's really not designed to do information. That's not what it does. And so it has triggered everybody with visuals and saturated them with emotion. So everybody is on blast at full at all times. Yeah. And there's no way to just hold it inside. And you see it, like any alcohol whatsoever or any public thing coming at you, and it just bursts.
Like
a water balloon.
If you give someone alcohol and a mode for anonymous expression, it's over. Anytime we're anonymous, we're already horrible. Then you add the booze, and then you've been jacked up with 24/7 news. And true.
So my experience of being heckled by a military person was, it was so sweet in its own way. I was doing a show for the Second Army, like veterans of World War II. They got together every year. I think it was the Second Army. I don't remember exactly, but they came to a comedy club, and there was like 150 of them. Families, and they were old as hell. I mean, it was just an old scene of ex-military people, and half of them had died off. And so I was, you know, having a great time and talking to them about all this stuff. And one woman was like, somebody asked me, were you in the military? I'm like, no. I said, I kind of missed Vietnam. I was 10 at Vietnam, and then nothing happened until after that. And this 75-year-old woman who I'd been talking to during the show, her name was Edna, of course. She said, she goes, coward.
And what are you going to say to the 75-year-old lady?
I'm like, coward? I said, what, that's pretty fast. Like, you went from, we were doing, having a good time until you're ready to, you know, hang me for treason.
Coward.
Coward.
You should have started something.
So no, I get it. Like, people are, I mean, when it comes to military and violence, this is also one of the things why people keep comedians out of things, right? When they get serious, like, shut the comedians up. Serious things are happening now.
Yeah, it's no time for jokes. True.
It's all going to come out. I mean, all this stuff, it's not going to be very long. Like, I was thinking also, like, of cultural things that help explain Afghanistan to people. And I had the line pop into my head about, well, it's Afghanistan, Jake.
What's that?
Do you remember from Chinatown? It's a famous film line.
Yes, Afghanistan.
Where, you know, Jake. Nicholson has just seen this woman get shot in the face by her incestuous dad, and he couldn't stop any of it. And his buddy is like, hey, it's Chinatown, Jake. Well, that's Afghanistan.
It is,
You don't know what's going on, and crazy shit you can't control. Here we go.
And it's right at the beginning of that first war, and you found out that the Taliban banned flying kites. They were against beards. They didn't want you to use toothpaste. I said, those are some really weird, you know, things to fight for. If that's how far your culture has to go to freedom, I said, I'm worried. We fought for taxation without representation. They're fighting for the right to fly kites and shave and use Crest. And I don't know. I don't know how this translates. This is,
and there's no tea to throw into the desert, man. What do you?
Sure enough. You like you say, it's Afghanistan, Jake. That's exactly, I think, right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
So, well, there you go. I have to cancel my vacation plans to Kabul.
Yeah, I would.
Damn it.
What if I get cancel the gig? Cancel the gig.
So what else? You picked something. Well, is there something you wandered through in the news list that you found particularly peppery?
Giuliani said that Cuomo, this kills me. Cuomo resigns. And then Giuliani goes off about the woman who went after him. What's her name? Letitia
James.
She should be disbarred. And then this is the one that he did that they always do. Do you know how much money we're wasting on it? They're always talking about how we're wasting government money when we do, you know, it's a waste of government money. They said we spend on elections and, but yeah, this one, that made me laugh. Giuliani. Oh yeah. She should be disbarred.
Well, they have these exchangeable defenses, right? And so the defenses travel across topics. So it doesn't matter what happens.
True.
They've got the same defenses that this is politically motivated. Why are we wasting money? They're, you know, out to get me, you know. It's watching the mob. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen a criminal or experienced a criminal. They don't ever admit their crimes.
That's how they do it. Yeah, that's part of what makes them crime. It's just that a criminal, but it's just that he was just disbarred. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. He was just disbarred. And now he's telling everybody she should be disbarred. Why does he not? Why are we that? Was that, are we that dumb? Are people like, well, you know, Giuliani? What?
The guy who's disbarred knows what about disbarment. So,
yeah, I guess. Wait a second. A lot of the stuff she did seems, no, nothing the same. He is creepy looking. I always say he was a rapid decline that he went through.
It really was.
And I told you, I think he is the portrait of Dorian Gray. He is that for Trump. I think that's what he was. Everything bad.
Absorbing the sins.
Went to his face. Because he said Cuomo will resurrect himself. That's what he said. What a, he's a nut job. So that was interesting.
Well, and it is like when you see a guy like lose their shit that far, like everybody's got people like that in their family. Like once they degenerate to a certain point, they start saying crazy shit. Then you're like, oh, Thanksgiving's going to be interesting this year. But he's got to stay in the public eye. Right. Yeah. I mean, he's done stuff that you're just like, this looks like a SNL skit.
Yeah, but it's entertainment, I guess. Is that why? It's not news. But
once somebody reaches a certain level of status, especially in politics, you always get coverage, right? Yeah. They have to say something a little crazier each time to get more towards the top of the news feed. But there's a technique in rhetoric called appropriation, and you basically just appropriate whatever the other side is doing. And it makes no difference whether it's logical or truthful or anything else. Just say back to them exactly what was said about you. And that's the, you know, the whole thing about disbar her.
Yeah. Well, she's got to be disbarred. Okay. That makes sense then. So.
Yeah. It's just it's a rhetorical technique. And
so when he's saying he will resurrect himself. Yeah. He said Cuomo's a fighter, which is what he said about Trump too. Trump's a fighter. All these sociopaths are fighters. Anyway.
Well, Cuomo, you know, when you look at that guy, that he's in this now in the troop of sexually inappropriate, powerful men. Right. And his defense. Oh, my God. Yeah. His defenses were so bad.
I didn't hear any of them.
Well, he started by sending he basically did the right wing stuff where he sent his lawyer out to discredit the accusers.
Oh. Yeah.
Like attack the victims.
Just go after him. He did that too. Yeah. I guess that's standard. Yeah.
And that's a right wing. Again, that's a mob tactic. You just attack whoever, you know, attacks you.
Just go after him. So he is a fighter. I got you. Yeah. Okay. He's a fighter. Got it.
I think a lot of times we lose the adjectives. Like, he's a dirty fighter.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right. Dirty.
If you would say that, then I'm like, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He is a dirty fighter. There's another one I saw that was $1.2 trillion on the infrastructure, but it also might be $3.5 trillion on infrastructure. And this is going to sound harsh, Dan, but I don't think America's problem really is our streets and our bridges or our internet. There's a bunch of assholes using all the infrastructure. that's the real problem. Like, you do understand. Like, who was it? We need to, part of it was internet access. I said, no. How's that going to help? We need to get this misinformation and rage out there faster. We need larger photos downloading instantly. I mean, how is this? I don't
more porn. That's what he's basically offering, like porn to the rural communities. And maybe they won't be so upset all the time about.
It's a sheep
relief program.
don't. It doesn't make sense. This is the same with the free education when they were like, we got to give them free, more free college and maybe community college. But when you look at the average reading level, it's about eighth grade. They need four more free years of high school. Actually, they should go back through their free high school years. I don't.
Yeah, I was a professor at the end of that garden hose where I got to see what was coming out. And I'm like, you guys, I literally had students when I taught the University of Louisville who were illiterate. They could not read. And I'm like, I said, you're smart. And they were sometimes the smart people, but I'm like, you got to learn to read.
Is it not in there? I had, when I taught for a few years, I remember I had one student didn't show up for like 3 weeks because he thought it was on the wrong day. He kept coming. He thought class was on a day. He kept coming on the wrong day. And then finally went to the office to ask him who was in the class meeting. The office just took his word for it. They didn't assume someone could be this crazy. I got a call from the secretary, Mr. Washburn, are you coming in today? And I was like, whoa. And since I'm ditzy, I panicked. I thought I was wrong.
And then those dreams you always have as a teacher, by the way.
Yeah. I rush down to the car and about ready to take off. Wait a second. There's no class today. So I called back. Well, don't you have? No, I don't have class today. And I knew it was the missing student. And that same student finally came in. So now we're almost 3 weeks in and no materials. I gave him the list and he immediately looked at it. So can you buy these for me? It's like, holy crap.
Really?
This is college level. Yeah. This is a college class. So anyway, he needs.
Yeah. There's a certain level like college, even the people who get in and have skills, like competent skills. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm like, you are not ready for higher education. Even the mostly good ones weren't really ready for higher order processing. They had learned, maybe some study skills, some how to at least force themselves to remember some memorize things.
A few dates in
order, right. but I was like, man, this is not what I signed up for is to lead this particular herd through the valley.
Yeah. And mine was just drawing and painting. So it was pretty, but yours, no.
I used to write on like the smart people who had figured out the system, like they'd turn to paper and I'd write on there. I'm like, well, I'm going to give you an A, but you don't know anything. You just have good, you have good writing skills, whatever. And this isn't hard. I had so often they would come to me and go, yeah, you're the only ones ever told me that, but that's exactly right. I'm not working very hard. I'm like, yeah, I can see it.
So anyway, the infrastructure is nice. I know I don't want bridges and buildings collapsing. I get that, but I just think.
But, ever since FDR, this has been a political capital of putting people back to work on the roads. Yeah. Like, have you seen the people working the roads?
Yeah.
That is not. Are those the people we really want to be sending all the tax dollars to? Like, I've the guy leaning, on the stop sign and the other guy with the stop sign and they have to do that ballet.
Yeah. It's trickier than it looks, Dan. I think you're oversimplifying. In Germany, they just have automated lights doing it. They don't even have the people with the sign. They said, hey, we could. And so that's what they've done. But we
ain't going to fly here. Then who would the infrastructure money go to? The light maker? Come on.
Yeah, we wouldn't want that. That 1.2 trillion. I also saw this raw chicken, 59,000. You put 60,000 pounds. It's not. It's 59,251 pounds. You exaggerated.
No. The article exaggerated. They rounded up because I wrote down what they said.
Yeah, they exaggerated. But it's all this chicken out there from February. That's the thing. They're recalling chicken now.
From February gets recalled.
I said, whoa, February. That's pretty, it makes you think like, how old is this stuff I'm eating, this TV dinner stuff?
Well, I guess once it's frozen, it could be 50 years old. You wouldn't.
You wouldn't know unless you got salmonella. And then they would check it up. Oh, this is from 8 years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
This is a 1970s chicken right here. I can tell. Like it's a disco chicken.
Yeah, disco chicken. But it was 11 people or did. But I guess the point is, it proves vaccines don't work. I think that's what it proves. At least I know someone's going to use it as evidence that vaccines don't work, because that's about how smart those yuckles are. They're morons. They're killing
you. You have to admire the creativity of being able to discredit all logic. Like the warped logics of the world are so creative in how they can discredit stuff.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, it is. It is. There's that recent study. It's not a study. It's just this data coming out of Iceland, which actually proves these vaccines are good at preventing you from getting infected and amazing at protecting you from death or hospitalization. But it instantly was used as evidence that they don't work, like instantly. Like, by the way, vaccines don't work. There you go. We knew it. COVID's not real. You know,
gosh. Because it came from Iceland. You can't trust anything from Iceland. Was that the discredit?
That's what kills me, too, is that they're the ones getting the data. We don't have it. Like, DeSantis, he won't send it forward to the CDC. He doesn't trust them with the data.
Yeah.
It's going to make them look bad. Yeah, jackass.
By the way, interesting effect watching, like, you have a halo like over top of your head.
I
like it. Yeah,
it's my ideas.
It's not even the light. That's just you. You're just,
yeah, that is. That's just my brain power.
I know you're talking about Giuliani. He's also, it came out this week, he's on Cameo. Did you see that?
No,
like you can pay, it was $199. And he will say happy birthday or send a message to whoever you want him to send a message to on Cameo, which is where celebrities do that. Yeah. And I was like, I was looking at this and thinking, that's the wrong business idea. I don't want him to come up with his own message. I want to pay him $199 and he has to say whatever I want him to say. Like, I get to write the script.
Yeah.
I would pay for that.
Like the old days when he was with Trump.
Yeah. You know, if I sent him a script that said, you know, yes, I fabricated everything I say about Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is a hermaphrodite, and
yeah,
you know, just the worst thing.
And I'm in love with him. Yeah.
I'm in love with him.
Yeah, I would like that. I agree.
You'd pay for that, right? That pay to hear him say that.
A lot of people would pay to hear him just say, yeah, I'm a liar. Just if you could just say, I'm a liar. Bye. That's it. I'm a liar. I haven't paid for that.
So
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we've got all the vax stuff. Like you mentioned, like the Florida. Florida has more cases than India right now, right?
Do they? Oh, wow. Yeah, good
something
work.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Good work. India has more people than Florida, too. This is important. We got to. People, like, when they're looking at this data, it's made me realize how bad we are with that.
Maybe it was Mexico, but I wanted to put India in there.
Yeah, it sounds good. Well, we don't worry about it until you have to do cameos. You don't have to worry about the truth.
Yeah, we're comedians. That's the other thing about doing comedy. Politicians lie all the time, you know, and that's a problem. But comedians, you know, exaggerate. We don't lie. We just exaggerate, or we replace something with something funnier.
Yeah.
That's technically not lying, right? It's just finding the funnier angle.
Yeah,
I need different information in order for it to be funny.
Yeah, they don't trust us anyway. It's weird that they won't trust comics, do they? Well, I guess they listen to comics if they're on TV with a suit.
Yeah, but nobody listens. Nobody listens to comedians. Like, comedians will come up with solutions to shit that nobody would do, but would actually work.
Yeah.
Oh, I talked about this with your abortion. Was it an abortion idea?
Yeah. Yeah, you could come up with a compromise based on with a ballot, like with it's a pretty sick idea. But
so like Canada announced vaccines mandate for travel. If you want to go to Canada, you have to have a vaccine. You know, it's bad when the Canadians get tough.
Yeah.
When they're like, we're taking we're now tougher than America.
They are Canada. They are way tougher on that. I always saw that Kirk Cousins is not a vaxxer.
Right.
The quarterback. And as a Vikings fan, I'm kind of hoping he gets it. And if there's a way we could say, fine, then we get out of the contract. It's a lot of money riding on that guy, you know?
Yeah. Talk about somebody who's undelivered, you know, forever. Like,
yeah.
He'll have a couple of good games and people are like, oh, he's a great quarterback. And then it's like, wow.
when it right comes down to it. Yeah. But he's not vaccinated. He's unprotected, which that's been the case for
that's a good joke. That's a good sports joke.
Yeah.
He should have the vaccine on his left tackle. Should be just the vaccine.
Yeah.
The blind side. Yeah. He's going to get blindsided again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to get creamed. There's no way. I don't know how people don't think they're going to get it. But
well, Lamar Jackson has had it twice, and he's still not vaccinated. Like, he got it again. Lamar Jackson, the quarterback for the Ravens.
That's twice?
Yeah, and still won't get vaccinated.
At least with him, there's history, you know? There's the Tuskegee thing to where I don't understand.
Yeah, but again, like, you're just stretching to pull discreditness into the moment. Like, Tuskegee was this crazy, you know, army operation 75 years ago or whatever. It's
true. Yeah.
How does that apply right now?
It doesn't to me. To me, it doesn't apply at all. But I keep hearing it all the time. Well, you know, they're hesitant because their grandpa was in the Tuskegee thing. And grandpa told me, if they ever come to you with a needle, you just run the other way.
Did you see the story in there about a plastic drum full of human remains just being discovered in a random neighborhood in New Jersey
over
the weekend?
How is that news? I don't know. Is this part of the chicken story? Did they find a salmonella? Are they recalling it? They're recalling. Is that what they're saying?
They're going to recall those human remains. Human remains.
Maybe someone was just, is an organ donor thing, you know? They just
just like, hey, free organs. Free. It's a government program.
You know, the clothespins, the clothes and the shoes, and they just sat that right next to it. Or maybe it was actually in the bin.
There's got to be ways of turning that into a Springsteen song, right? What's that song he has? The human something. Human.
Human touch.
Human touch.
Yeah. Human. Yeah.
Brilliant disguise. That's a brilliant disguise. They're a plastic tub.
I would never guess. Hey, that's a person in there. I would have guessed. That's true. See that plastic tub? Actually a person.
Brilliant disguise.
Yeah, New Jersey. That was funny when I saw that. Like that's got surely happening a lot, doesn't it? Am I just believing the hype of New Jersey, or is it?
I don't know. Like, you would think, like, you know, after Breaking Bad, when they taught everybody how to get rid of a body and they told you the exact acid and the exact plastic to use and then showed you how to do it like 8 times in that show, I guess the mob finally went, hey, you know what? Maybe we'll just put them in a plastic
bin.
Yeah. It's like a coffee can. It's like they're,
And someone will just discover some liquid. Yeah, that's
that's a lazy mobster, though. It's like, just drop it in the neighborhood.
Not even just sit it out in the open. Well, you wouldn't expect it. That's. I saw the MyPillow guy was attacked. What was that about?
Yeah, he said he got attacked by two Antifa guys outside of his elevator in his hotel.
What, they punched him or hit him? Or
no, the story was, according to him, was the guy came up to get a photo and put his arm around him and then like shoved something sharp into his ribs. And I'm like, well, maybe that was just, he was shanking you with the truth. Maybe that's just, you know, the truth is, you know, it's painful.
Maybe they're just bad guys. Why are they suddenly Antifa? That's what I want to know. Did they give him a card? Did they shout slogans at him? How do they know they're Antifa?
Just, I think they self-identified. Hey, we're Antifa. Can we get a photo?
Yeah, they self-identified Antifa. It's a new thing they do.
That word Antifa, they love that word.
Yeah, and I don't like any of these whack jobs on either far, you know, I don't like them, but what does it mean? What is Antifa?
Well, it doesn't matter what it means, right? It sounds bad. It sounds foreign somehow. It sounds something.
Yeah.
Antifa. Yeah. It's anti-fascist, right? That's the root word.
That's what they say. I went to some website on them, and it didn't make it made them sound bad. And they don't have their own official website, you know, do they?
No, they don't. It's not an organization. It's a, again, it's, no. a, you know, it's an idea. Like people don't even know what a fascist is. Fascist, you know, is literally an Italian word that means a bundle. And it was made in, around the time Mussolini, the fascist party, was that it's all these individual groups and we're going to collect them into a government and, you know, bind them together as a fascia. And so, and so that's the root of fascists. So instead of having like monarchies or center of the power, it's like, let's take all the groups and, you know, make them into a power coalition.
That's where that came from.
Yeah, that's where the meaning of the word is. But nobody knows that. Nobody knows anything about anything that we're all upset about.
Yeah, well, I don't about those guys. I mean, I'll see, I just see lots of videos of people that don't put them in a good light. And then you know, I see lots of that. I watch that, you know, that guy's a bad guy. And I watch another video and that guy's a bad guy too. That's a bad woman. I don't, yeah, you don't really, it's don't so know. Out of context and slapped in.
But so anyway. it still incites people. Like it's still, you got to talk. If you're, once you get that riled up emotionally, you're going to speak, right? That's the thing. You're going to say something about this.
Yeah.
Like you cannot just hold that in as a human being. And so you get all this, it's a blurt culture. It's just blurt.
Yeah. And that's my fellow guy. He got shanked and then he blurted about it.
Blurted.
It's fascist. It's Antifa stab. Stab
so
me.
You want to play a quiz? You want to do the weekly quiz? I got some questions for you. You can play on the quiz.
Yeah, I want to do the quiz. Absolutely.
Okay, so these are, I got four questions. It's grown to 9,000 pounds and it's 40 times its normal size. And it's on your back porch. Okay. Your choice. Frog or caterpillar?
Wow. How big? How much bigger?
I don't know. 9,000 pounds, 40 times its size. It's big. It's like dinosaur size.
So it has to be a frog or a caterpillar. I'm going to do caterpillar because I think I could make corral it long enough to get some video and photo. Maybe the frog would be gone and it'd crush something on the way out. But maybe the caterpillar, I could monetize that. So I'll take caterpillar.
The frog would eat you, right? Like it's the tongue.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Instantly. Yeah.
So you get eaten by a tongue, though. Like that.
Yeah, it's like whack. But the caterpillar, I could probably outrun it. And yeah, I'll take caterpillar. Okay.
Frog easy. Seems like easy. A bad way to go. Like eaten by a big frog seems like a bad way to go because you would be captured by the sticky tongue. It wouldn't kill you, I wouldn't think. And then you would just, they don't have teeth.
It would hurt. It would like break
in its throat or its stomach still alive.
Digesting. Yeah. I'll go for caterpillar. Yeah, easy. That was easy. Very easy.
Caterpillars are kind of creepy. There's like 1,000 feet and all those weird hairs.
Better. Okay. Still.
All right. Better. Still going with caterpillar. All right. Yeah. So you're in bed, getting ready to go to sleep. Which is easier for you to sleep with in a cage next to you? A one-pawed monkey holding onto a Stephen King novel or a raccoon eyeing up a parrot that keeps saying, nice raccoon.
But I've done both of these. And what was the first one? A monkey?
And one-pawed monkey. He's missing a paw.
And he's reading a Stephen King. Well, that's easier. Unless he's reading out loud, then that's freaky. Because the other is loud. You know what I mean? So that's easy. Yeah, it's easy again. These are
the
easy.
Supernatural creepiness of the one-pawed monkey. Isn't there a monkey paw? Wasn't that a story, like a horror story? The monkey's paw or something?
The monkey's paw. Yeah, it was. But the other one isn't uncreepy either. And it's loud. I've had those birds. We owned one of those conures. Well, it didn't talk, but it would be. That's loud.
I wish all birds talked. Right?
You're a sick man. That would be a horrible thing.
Think right? About everywhere you go, like the birds, like, hey. A billion birds just constantly saying shit to you.
Yeah. Well, we're not far from that. It's pretty close.
Okay. Last quiz question. This one's not quite as weird. So Joe Pesci, you know Joe Pesci, right?
Yeah.
Do you know Sam Rockwell?
Oh, yeah.
Put them both in a room together and who dominates?
Oh, wow.
There's both these uber personalities, right?
Yeah.
They just take over everything whenever they're around. Even like big actors, they out charm and personality
everybody
around.
They've got all this stuff going. Yeah, that's true. They've got this weird energy. Well, how old are they now?
They're at their prime. Let's say they're both in their prime.
Oh, they're in their prime. Oh, man. Okay, now it's a battle. So I say Pesci's really old. I thought I had an out.
That's no fair.
I'm thinking Pesci, probably. I think he is the most.
I think he's so, like too.
Fire right? plug.
Yeah, he's like 5 feet tall and that voice. And
I think the Goodfellas seen everything he does since then. Jeez. You know, am I funny to you? Am I funny? Yeah, that is. Oh, he's scary.
That was improvised from what I know.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Yeah. It's terrifying. I would like that guy to tour the country and tell people to get vaccines. That'd be good.
Right. Well, that's really like when you look, and people always ask me as a like rhetorician, like on these big issues like this, what would I actually do? And it's stuff like that. You've got to use all the power of the machine to turn people, you know, into vaccine positive.
I don't know how we're going to do it. I think it's.
Well, we could do it, but we can't get every, we can't keep the people who keep breaking the system out of the way.
Yeah.
Like they keep, it's like you're trying to have a conversation and somebody keeps coming in with a megaphone.
Yeah. And they're handcuffing us. And I think I had my sister-in-law had a good idea. And that is, when do the insurance companies stop covering the costs of COVID hospitalizations if you aren't vaccinated? I think that would do it in a heartbeat.
That would help.
I don't think they should get admitted to the ICU if they're not vaccinated. It should be to a point like, no, we'll let you in if we have more than 20 extra beds. But other than that, you're back of the line. We're not going to let you gum up the whole system because you sat at home. Like in Utah right now, my brother-in-law was telling me it's routinely. They're having people coming in with their family. Someone's sick. They tell them it's COVID. The family gets all upset, say, this isn't real. You're lying. They have to call in security and police and rush them out. And I just think those people, like, it's insane. Why
I don't understand. I don't understand the logic. I don't trust science and the vaccine. Now I'm sick. I'm going to trust science and the hospital.
Yeah, I don't get it. And then
why are they going to the hospital?
Yeah, exactly. So what are you doing here? What are you doing here? If you trust your own opinion more than ours, why in the hell did you even come?
Hey, totally cool. You have freedom to make a choice to be anti-modern and not to trust the modern world and the vaccine. Yeah. Great. We have a cabin over here for you to tough it out.
Yeah, you can go do that. You said you knew all about your own immune system. Now you're getting put your immune money.
And I would admire that. I would be like, okay, we got to keep you away from the modern people. That's fine. Yeah. But if you are really into, you know, medieval times,
that's yours.
The past, go for it. You're a mountain man. Go to the mountain and, you know, ride it out. Come back and tell us the visions you had, you know, during COVID.
And I'll listen. Yeah. But for now, because I have, like, was it, there's a guy, a comic out of Texas, you know, his wife is sick and in the ICU, and it's been a big problem for him. Really big problem. He can't go visit because she doesn't get the care she needs because he's, anyway. Yeah. So
I've got a friend who's got a fake vax card. Like he told me this weekend he has a fake vax card. And I'm like, I don't know how to incorporate that into my friendship with you.
Yeah, that's hard to deal with, actually.
You know, because it's not just it's not just dangerous to everybody else. He's telling people he's vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not cool. That's like when someone's mean to the waiter, I think. It's about like that, isn't it?
Just so many dimensions to this issue. It just keeps splintering into more and more problems. Turns out like getting human beings to do stuff is really, it's
tricky.
It's weird. It's weird and tricky. Yeah. Okay. Last thing here, I'm going to give you an inspirational story from the week. And
all right.
We can talk about that a little bit. But I saw this on the intranet. Daniel Craig has some advice, some inspirational advice for people. And who knows whether he actually said this, but I saw a meme with him saying it. that he says after a while you get used to the rejection and you don't take it personally.
Oh yeah.
Daniel Craig said that.
He said that. I think I've heard that's salesman and a Mormon mission. And on your Mormon mission, that was it. I was like,
but all the, and can you just imagine all the rejection that the world's sexiest man who booked the James Bond role had to experience to get to this level of zen?
Yeah.
Must have been hard.
It was tough for that guy.
I hope that the people, you know, maybe in the slums of Calcutta, you know, understand his pain. That yeah, there's probably a time when he took a flight and he wanted to bang four of the.
That's true.
And only three showed up at his hotel room.
I you're right. I had not thought of, he doesn't have that. Yeah, you're right.
It's kind of hard to
think. But a Mormon mission did. When I was a Mormon missionary, man, Then you got some rejection. But
how many times have you been rejected? Probably, you're probably in the top half a percent of human beings for rejection. You were on your mission?
Yeah. It's like, it was 2 years.
Two years of rejection.
Yeah, mostly. Every once in a while, people said yes. That was weird when they said yes.
Like, whoa. Now it's on.
Yeah, this is strange. Nobody does that.
You probably literally, if they said yes, you probably had the thought of, I don't want to go in there.
Person. I used to have a bit about that. Like, as soon as they let you in, you're like, what is wrong with you? Absolutely. What kind of freak lets us in? That's exactly what you think. Exactly.
Oh, that's great. Maybe I'll, from now on, I'll have somebody bring a bit on that they want to close with, like one of their classic bits like that. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, good bit. Yeah, a good classic bit. Yeah, I can't remember that one though. Too long ago.
Too long ago.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it, man. We went through it. We fixed everything.
We kind of fixed. No, we didn't. But the Daniel Craig thing.
Maybe we'll fix Daniel Craig. If anybody knows Daniel Craig, give us a call and like he can call in next week and explain, you know, how reset his life. Yeah. He should be like, after a while, you get used to all the acceptance.
Yeah.
And it no longer gives you that much of a thrill.
And you don't have that imposter syndrome after a while. Yeah.
Like I would take his advice on, you know, so much success that it's just, you know.
Oh, it's crazy. You don't go crazy. Don't let the fame. Yeah, that would be what you. Yeah, true. True. Yeah.
You no longer care about people. You no longer care about people, you know, being hating you. Like you're just, I'm better than you. I won.
Yeah. How long did he lose before he won? I mean, some of these actors for that first, but they win. They won.
Come on. Like, he has looked like that his whole life. He may have lost, it may take him some while to get jobs, but just the day-to-day life of how you're treated as the super attractive, the way they're treated.
Just looking like that. That's true. Yeah.
Like I used to do a bit about Brad Pitt. Just think about the super attractive their life. Like Brad Pitt has looked like this ever since he was a kid. It's like his fifth grade teacher is probably like, Bradley, here's your test back. It's a 42. That's an A. And I've written my phone number on the back. When you turn 18, call me and I have a special, you know, gift treat for you at 18.
Those are the good teachers.
And now I'm gonna go wash your bike. You know.
That's true. That gets back to that first thing I was saying, that all men are created equal. It's ludicrous. It's insanely stupid. Not true. Not true.
Well, even the beauty of the fact that it's just the word, it's just men, it's just that group.
Yeah, just right out of the gate.
We're going to cut 50% of you as not equal before we even start.
Yeah, so you said men. Yeah, I got to work on that bit. That's a good bit.
Yeah, that's great. All that deconstructing the Constitution, you know, that's my other thing. Like everybody becomes all this expertise on the Constitution that the right has. It's like, it's my, like, come on. You don't know
My Second Amendment. And then they pull out like one half. It was the shortest one anyway. And then they only memorize half of it.
Yeah, and even the second minute has like five things in it, right?
Yeah, and they just pull out the one little section and they forget about the anyway.
Anyway, there we go. All right, buddy, I appreciate it. We'll circle back around, do this again some point next time you're in a bathroom in a major American city.
In a Midwestern city, coming to you.
Yes. Everybody go check out Bent Washburn online, Drive Bar Comedy, all sorts of great stuff. And we'll get him back to America here one day.
I hope so. It's good talking to you, Dan.
Yeah, you too. I appreciate it. All right, this has been the Comedian Americans podcast. Keep coming back. We'll keep fixing the world. See ya.
See ya.